Welcome to the Tate Talks podcast.
This podcast has been very kindly sponsored by JumpCloud for MSPs. JumpCloud for MSPs provides managed service providers a platform for delivering modern IT services that are identity-centric, cloud-native, and vendor-agnostic.
Hi everyone, welcome back to this week's Tate Talks, where I had a great chat with another old friend of mine, Ian McCord of Zorus. We really chatted about several different things, from his career so far to his quest for the perfect QBR. So hope you enjoy. Hi Ian, thanks for joining us today on Tate Talks.
Thanks for having me.
Now, it's been quite a while actually since we last spoke. For those that don't know, we used to work together at Datto when I was in the business development team there and you were running the product organization, but it's been a while.
Yeah, lots of change, but then again, things are a lot the same.
Absolutely. So for those that have never, that haven't come across you before, can you sort of tell us a little bit about Ian McCord, any kind of anything that people would like to know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, my first job was really my first real job was a channel job, was at Datto. I helped my brother get that started and then helped him grow it until 2018, where I left and did my own thing. I actually left the channel, did this product marketing startup, which we went right out big on events in March of 2020. That's when we really released the product, and that was not great timing to be on the road. So ended up scrapping that idea and was recruited to run Zorus in late 2020, and since then it's been a great ride, and I couldn't be happier to be back in the channel. Love working with MSPs.
Yeah, and that's really funny you mentioned that, because one of the episodes I was speaking to Chris Day of IT Glue fame at the time, and it was saying the same thing, that if any vendor that was trying to launch at that point in time when all the events closed down would have been like an impossible task. So it sounds like you were right at the wrong end of that.
It happens.
But you got into the channels. You say one of your first jobs was getting it into Datto really early days. I've seen some of the pictures. They seem like sort of really young. But I mean, were you doing anything before that in terms of career, or was that the first role that you got into?
It was really kind of I worked at a golf store in high school, and then I worked at Ace Hardware in college because I was really poor at the time. And then Datto at the very beginning, it was just do whatever needed to be done. And so I started with assembling the units and then moved into sales engineering, and then sales engineering, you know, kind of got the idea of what customers wanted and realized that our product just didn't quite fit it. And so, you know, I kind of asked like, well, where is engineering going? And engineers are always thinking about like how to solve a problem. And that's where kind of the formation of the product department was, what problems to solve, and they can focus on how to solve them. And so, you know, I was kind of the first product manager at Datto, and then ultimately building a product management team around me, which was really exciting. We moved from kind of that waterfall engineering development to, Scrum and Agile.
Yeah, and I guess you were there when it went from multiple iterations from almost a one product to a two product to a three product company, a four product company, and I guess that's quite challenging.
Yeah, building the suite around the products and trying to figure out, you know, we had solved a big problem, which was, you know, how do we deliver continuity to the managed service providers and then ultimately to their customers? And then beyond that, it was, you know, what other problems can you solve? You solved this problem for us. What other problems can you solve? And can you, you know, be able to protect data wherever it lives? And, you know, and then ultimately with Autotask coming in and building sort of a suite around these problems to solve and make it easier for MSPs to run their business and to be successful.
Yeah, and looking back with the Backupify acquisition back in the day, I think at the time it was sort of people were thinking, why do we need this? Why do we need to be backing up this Office 365 or Google data? But now the market's kind of flooded with people doing the same thing. So, you know, the problem obviously was there, but I guess people just weren't aware of it at the time.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think that anybody could have predicted just how successful, you know, SaaS applications have become and how much that's, you know, kind of penetrated every single business vertical.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So you're obviously now in a role, and we'll talk a little bit about Azores later on, but you're in a role where you're speaking to lots of different MSPs all around the world. I mean, what kind of challenges do you see them facing currently? Is there any one particular thing or a couple of things that they're coming up against?
Yeah, I really think that managed service providers have a growth problem right now. And that, you know, when I walk down the halls of these, vendor booths, what I notice is that it seems like almost all of the vendors there are kind of doing rip and replace solutions. They're kind of solving a problem in a better way and more profitable, lower cost, all these kind of things, but not necessarily a new revenue stream for managed service providers. And to me, that's kind of scary because it kind of feels like then MSPs can only compete, you know, for new business, which could theoretically be taking business away from another MSP, and then their ability to differentiate their services starts to get a little bit more challenging. And now they start competing on price, which if that is really the only way to win deals, that's just a race to the bottom and everyone in the industry loses. And so I think that, you know, trying to think about what are new ways for MSPs to bring net new revenue that they had never seen before from existing clients, that to me, I think is really interesting because as you see, all of the, you know, servers are essentially going into SaaS apps. And so that revenue's down, that hardware revenue is gone and that RMM revenue is gone. And so, you know, what is coming in to replace that? And I see opportunity in cybersecurity, but I also see opportunity in sort of, you know, how they're managing the, you know, the workforce at their clients and understanding the data around that, I think is really exciting and kind of a new frontier for managed service providers.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's fascinating how the number of vendors have increased, but I guess, especially around security, if we go to, you know, thinking of DataCon as an example, you probably almost the number of sponsors there probably kind of doubles every year that they do it. So there are so many more vendors coming through. And I guess it creates this challenge for MSPs to know which one should I be speaking to? Does this replace this? Or is this, can I make more money with this over this? It's quite a challenging time for MSPs to find the right solutions as well. And where do they get the impartial information? I guess that's always been a problem for them.
Yeah. No, it definitely is. And I think that MSPs are, they always get better at testing solutions and being able to really kind of find what's real and what's not. But, you know, I'd say is the only thing, if I look forward facing, is just, you know, spending and for an MSP to spend equal parts trying to optimize the solutions they have as parts of spending time to look at new solutions and new things that they can bring value to their clients, as opposed to just being more efficient, just being more of a price performer, because they want to continue to deliver more value than they did in the years prior. And that I think will help them differentiate as well as they look into, you know, more competitive markets.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's just talk a little bit about Azores. It's not an overly product-focused podcast, but I mean, I don't know a huge amount about what you're up to, so I would like to know, and I'm sure the listeners would. So yeah, tell us about Azores.
Yeah, absolutely. So the company really started as a content filter and has become much more of, you know, a people data vendor. So we're, you know, moving beyond just content filtering. We're doing content filtering in the most channel friendly way, as we think, but we're moving beyond that and doing more engagement data, people data, because I see managed service providers as having a great opportunity to deliver business owners data on how are their departments working? How are people utilizing this IT infrastructure that the MSP has essentially built for them? And I think that's never really been a thing. This is like brand new to be able to deliver that data. And I see, you know, where do you deliver it? And that's where QBRs and, you know, SBRs, it's where people are really bringing value and talking about the value that they're bringing to that client. And I see a lot more MSPs doing them. And the ones that do them well are bringing data that's particularly useful to the end user, as opposed to just like patch management or like, you know, we did all this work for you, but you know, they kind of gloss over to that, but more saying, hey, here are how your departments are working, here are the apps they're using, and here's, you know, kind of a baseline of what people are kind of doing. And that way, you know, they can have a productive conversation about, does a certain department need more software? Do they need more headcount? What's going on? How are people interacting with this whole complicated IT environment that the MSP has deployed for them? I think that's a really productive conversation for an MSP to have.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just, and has that become more relevant since the pandemic, you think, in terms of more people working from home, and the IT departments have probably got, or the management of the kind of SMB have got less control or less visibility of what the staff are doing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it started with that. I mean, I think that sort of shook it loose of people like, oh my gosh, like all these people working from home, like what are they doing? But I think it's morphing more into, even if you're in the office, it's more like, you know, how are employees interacting with the IT environment? Because not all SaaS apps are created equal, and some are really difficult to use and some are not. And some people need training and some do not. And so when an MSP looks at that now, it's very reactive, and that somebody needs to raise their hand and say, I need training, I need help, I'm stuck, or I have a problem. And they say, put a ticket in. And you know, I draw a comparison to that, sort of how MSPs looked at servers and workstations before an RMM existed. Is it, you know, the machine needed a break, somebody needed to tell them, and then they went and fixed it or replaced it. You know, with employees, I see the same thing. I see a lot of parallels there, that employee could be stuck on something and no one would be able to tell unless the employee raised their hand. So that's reactive. Imagine if you could be proactive and say, hey, there's a baseline of you should be spending X amount of time in a certain app, and somebody's spending double or they're spending half. You have to ask that question, like, why?
Yeah, it's fascinating. It's kind of like you said, like an RMM for people. It's and monitoring, which is really cool. And I guess at the minute, another challenge that MSPs have got is this huge amount of sort of app sprawl when it comes to SaaS applications. People can sign, it's so easy to sign up for an application. And as you say, not all are created equal. Some are probably less secure than others. And so kind of having that visibility of what people are doing is invaluable.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it, to me, is a lot of lost opportunity, because you could say at the very worst end of it, it's shadow IT, because they're buying apps and they're really not telling a managed service provider. But when something goes wrong, that's usually who they call. And the MSP answers the phone and says, I didn't even know you bought this, which is a terrible thing to say because it feels like you're completely out of the loop. But I see, even on the positive side, when essentially an end user needs to buy something, the MSP should be consulting in that. And there's an opportunity for implementation. There's opportunity for streamlining it, you know, working with the MFA that they're working with. Like, there's so much opportunity that I feel is wasted, because it's sort of like, you know, MSPs had never really touched that world, or, you know, just they're being shy about it maybe. And, you know, this is where getting a solution where you could at least know what apps are being used, then they're in that conversation. And I think there's opportunity for them to make that world easier to understand for the end user and more efficient from a price standpoint, because they don't have, you know, a user who's buying Monday.com and Trello, you know, because two different departments that don't talk to each other needed a project management tool.
Yeah. And because it's a new product, it's almost like a new category of product, a little bit like Datto was back in the day. I mean, how are you kind of educating the market? How are you getting in front of MSPs to tell them about this? I mean, the events have started again, or is it, I mean, how are you doing this?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously we're at events, but we recently did a series that I'm doing, a webinar series called the Perfect QBR. And we did one 2 weeks ago, which is on the site. We've got another one coming in February. And the idea is that we're looking for what's the perfect QBR, because I see QBRs as a great opportunity for an MSP to show the end client all of the value they bring. And it's an opportunity to get new business from the end user, should that conversation get to the point where they said, hey, I need this, or I want this, or this is important to me. And so I want to find the perfect QBR, because I do think that QBRs have a wide range of, sophistication level. And so talking about all the different ones and, you know, hopefully finding what is the perfect QBR, I think that can help them incorporate this people data into the conversation.
Yeah, no, that's good. But QBRs are great. I think that everyone knows this, but historically, I don't know if it's still the case, but thinking back to my MSP, is one of those things that were quite difficult to schedule because they seemed a good idea when you're booking it a quarter out. But when it got nearer the time, everyone's thinking, have we really got the time to do this? But they're so valuable. You know, they should be kind of a meeting that's booked and you always go through with. So yeah, I'm a big fan of a good QBR as well. So I'll put a link to the kind of recordings of the webinar in there, because I'm sure a lot of MSPs are interested in QBRs as well.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. And we understand, you know, ultimately our vision is to be able to deliver kind of, you know, a sales in a box for this engagement data, this people data, because it is such a new thing. And it can be kind of a contentious thing sometimes when people say, oh, is that Big Brother? Is that too much monitoring? And so, you know, being able to navigate that conversation and show the value and show the positive side, I think it's not necessarily the easiest thing to do. I think it will get easier over time, but we want to arm MSPs with the ability to have those conversations, feel confident, and be able to bundle or package or sell this a la carte, you know, making it easy for them to spin this up and collect revenue and deliver value.
Yeah. And one question I will ask on the back of that then, because you've been obviously been in the game a long time and seen MSPs evolve, because if you look at the research that comes from Datto back in the day, or Kaseya or CompTIA, ConnectWise, everyone, they would always say that the MSP's biggest pain point is sales and marketing, as in they're not very good at sales and marketing. I mean, I guess that's always been a bit harsh, but do you think they're improving? Are they getting better at that, or relying on tools that vendors put out to help them?
I think they're absolutely getting better at it. And I think they, you know, ultimately they have to, because I think that what we're seeing the MSP of the future would look like, it's definitely way more of someone who's a strategic advisor than it is someone deep down in the technical weeds. Because, you know, with the SaaS application environment, the technical problems to solve actually become like slightly less technical, but there's more opportunity in the advising or the VCIO part of the business. And they're also continuing to win the war against internal IT. And so I see them moving up market. I see them getting better at sales and marketing, because they're actually building a stronger relationship with the end client. And they have been ever since the very beginning, when it was so reactive, it was forklift upgrade, it wasn't even managed services. So I think over time they are getting a lot better, and they only will continue to get better at it.
Yeah. One thing that just did occur to me is that I remember years ago, I was at an event in the UK and I kind of stood up and said, incorrectly, it turns out, that managed services are going to struggle because of SaaS and different applications, because a lot of SMEs are going to do it themselves, because I kind of incorrectly thought the IT was going to get simpler, whereas in effect, it's probably got more complicated, even though it is simpler, or probably more complicated to join it together and manage. So MSPs have changed, I guess, from, you say, doing that on-premise Exchange server backup and monitoring, but now having to stitch all these myriad of different SaaS applications together and security around that.
I think the IT challenge has gotten flatter, like wider, but not as deep, as opposed to it was very deep, but, you know, it wasn't that wide, because it was just the office, you know, they had the server and the workstations, everything's connected, but they had to build the server themselves, put all of the software on it and monitor the whole thing, and like would get even to the BIOS level of the server, like all these kind of things. Like that was really where the world was. And now it's becoming so much wider, but not as deep. And the idea is like, you know, I see for managed service providers in the future, they might be able to do Salesforce admin work, Salesforce implementation work. They might be able to have admins for a bunch of these SaaS applications that their clients all use. I think that actually, you know, is a reality. And quite frankly, there's so much implementation revenue there and so much admin revenue there that makes a lot of sense. And I'm excited to see MSPs take on some of that challenge, because I think that they could really grow their business doing that. And again, I think internal IT couldn't be positioned worse. I think internal IT continues to struggle, and that's why we see such a big amount of co-managed opportunities for managed service providers.
Yeah, and I think that sums it up really well. I've just made a note of it. It's much wider rather than deeper, because I remember when in my MSP, we were kind of buying an RMM product, and their selling point was it had 6,000 different monitors that can look at Exchange Server or something. And that's all, you know, that disappeared from, you know, when everyone moved to 365, that just disappeared. But it was a very narrow amount of applications they're supporting, probably on-premise DNS and Exchange and Active Directory. But now there's a whole kind of huge amount of applications. And I think the point you mentioned about admins and potentially not necessarily maybe getting into the kind of full-on development side, but having people that can script and code and things, little bits around these applications is important.
Right, because you think about, and we were, you know, at Datto, at a larger organization, you move from HubSpot to Marketo, you know, that move, you know, probably cost Datto maybe $100,000 or more. I mean, I think that those kind of moves are really expensive to do that and not lose data and not lose continuity and be able to keep people working as you're doing it, ERP system moves, like all that stuff. That's a huge, huge market. And I don't understand, you know, why MSPs aren't thinking about that. I think that they would be well positioned, to be able to help different businesses move from apps to apps install new apps across our organization, and then be able to track the data of like who's using it, who needs training, who's an absolute all-star and is actually really proficient. They should be leading the training. You should be learning from them. Like this is a whole world, a whole new opportunity for MSPs. And I think that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. And that's all driven or largely driven from the QBR, right? So I guess it ties up with what you're saying, that you've got to have the MSP needs to have these honest and sometimes difficult conversations with their clients and say, you know, you're not doing this right, or there's a better way of doing this and we can help you, but it's going to cost you money. And, you know, that's kind of what they've got to improve on.
Yeah, which I think that, you know, it's getting that seat at the table and becoming really part of that management team. And they look at the MSP as, you know, such a strategic advisor that they want to consult with them when they're making any type of move that would relate to technology. And which is a lot of business moves when you're running a business. So that's where I think that relationship could blossom. And there's a lot of opportunity for MSPs.
Awesome. Right. Well, a slight gear change then. We'll talk about you in terms of what do you do in terms of hobbies, interests, podcasts, books, movies, TV. What do you do when you're not working at Zorus?
Yeah. No, I'm a big skier. Avid golfer. I like to spend my time outside because I spend plenty of time in front of a computer screen. So anytime that I'm not there, I like to be outside. In terms of podcasts, I mean, I really loved how I built this. Like that podcast is so good. I love hearing other entrepreneurs and just how ironic all the stories are, and that, you know, like Instagram was not ever built to be Instagram. And they just sort of added photos and we're like, oh, okay, well, we're doing this other thing. And then it explodes. And it's like, okay, let's adjust. And I think that that's so true in so many businesses that I love that. It's just, you try a bunch of different things and you never really know exactly what it's going to be. And, you know, everybody who runs their business, they were like 10 years ago, did you think you'd be where you are? I mean, you know, I think majority of business owners would be like, no way, not a chance. But that's just cool to hear people adapting. And it also makes me feel more comfortable when I'm like, I'm completely lost. But everybody else is, I guess.
No, I love the story about Instagram. In fact, all of those businesses like that, that kind of pivot, you know, accidentally, or something happens that kind of says, well, they're onto something, but it's something much, much bigger that they didn't really even think of. So that's really, that kind of stuff I really like as well.
Nice.
So final question, we're just about at time then. So we're speaking with MSPs here. That's the majority of the audience on Tate Talks. Some vendors, some MSPs, some sort of people, but all generally people in our channel. Mm-hmm. So we're starting a new year into 2023. So, I mean, is there something that you would suggest that they do that they may not be doing now to help them with their business?
I mean, I really think taking some time out to dedicate towards where is growth coming from? Where is growth coming from in terms of existing clients? How do you become more valuable to your existing clients? And that, you know, is a separate conversation from how do you become more efficient, which I think MSPs spend a lot of time doing, but thinking about new product suites, new offerings to their end clients, I think that's a really, really time well spent for them, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, and I agree. It's just, and it's a quite a common thing that comes up on the podcast about MSPs spending more time, I guess, planning and looking about what they're then executing that plan. But you say create, you know, look at a new product, see if it fits into their stack, and then go out and get it delivered across their estate. So, yeah, I think that's a pretty solid tip.
Yeah, I mean, and I would say the other one is don't do it alone. MSPs have great staff. I love meeting staff at MSPs. This is one where go out for some drinks and throw that question around the table and see what people say. Because, you know, you as a business owner, you don't know what you don't know. And employees, sometimes they don't share things that you really wish they would, about how the business could be better in so many different ways. And sometimes after a pint or two, you know, they're free to share even more willingly. And I would say that that's where some of the best ideas I've heard of come from my staff. So, you know, involve your staff in that conversation, I think, is a fruitful thing to do.
Yeah, no, and I think that's a good lesson. That's good. Datto were great at that. I thought we were encouraged to do that, and JumpCloud were the same. But I think that it's smaller MSPs, or certainly when I was working with MSPs, so I probably wouldn't have used leveraged the staff as much as maybe we should have done. So I think that's a great tip.
Awesome. Thank you.
Great. Well, that's that. So appreciate your time. What I do is I'll put all your contact details in the comments if anyone wants to reach out and get in touch. I'm sure they will. I'll make a note of your podcast and things. But it's been great to catch up. I look forward to seeing you again in real life when I'm next over there, or you're over here, whichever it is.
Yeah.
First, absolutely. But I look forward to it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Speak to you soon.
Bye.
So that's that. Thanks for listening, and thanks for Ian for coming on. If you've not checked them out already, I would really recommend listening to the Perfect QBR webinar. I think two have been done already and another one's taking registrations now. So I'll put the links in the description below and check them out. Until next time, goodbye.
This podcast has been very kindly sponsored by JumpCloud for MSPs. JumpCloud for MSPs provides managed service providers a platform for delivering modern IT services that are identity-centric, cloud-native, and vendor-agnostic. Using JumpCloud's Open Directory platform, MSPs can iteratively replace point solutions by unifying device, identity, and access management. To learn more, please visit jumpcloud.com/MSP or email the team at partners@jumpcloud.com.